Universal Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone. On a cloudy morning and a muddy track here at the Thoroughbred Center. And it's a nice day, though. We've got two working as we speak, and obviously I'm not clocking them.
Oh, you're not?
No.
But you got that same vacant look on your face. Now I'm teasing.
That's my natural look, dear. Anyway, we're getting them clocked. It's getting done over there. I've got two watches on them. They're going to add them up and divide.
There you go.
And so we'll get it done. Anybody trains this late shouldn't have the horses clocked anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. It's starting to clear up a little. Maybe it's going to be a sunny day. It's going to rain again tomorrow.
Well, oh my goodness.
It's soggy. Oh, I have to tell you, I was on my way in, went down the road, and Ferguson's, matter of fact, and looked over, and there were five mares and five little teeny-weeny foals right up by the fence. I had to stop and look. Didn't. Absolutely adorable, cute, wonderful. Yeah. Spring is here.
Okay, well, so that's cute. That's right there where all the deer are in that section of Ferguson. You have to slow down going through there. I came through, and it was day before yesterday morning, about, you know, early. It's still dark, of course, but there were about 12 or 13 in one herd.
Just to deer? Really?
Yeah, right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So That's a bunch. Babies? Or how old were they? Could you tell?
No, I saw one with antlers, you know. I mean, it had to be a buck.
But, yeah, I'll be darned.
Anyway.
Well, these things were so cute. Most of them ignored me because, of course, I was on the other side of the road. But there was one, looked at me, just shook his head and snorted and went over and told his mommy. So I left. It was so cute.
Yeah, well, what are we doing today? We've got an interview coming up with Suzanne Vandersom, who is training out here now. She's from Michigan, and she hadn't been here too long. And she's an accountant with an office right at 3380 Paris Pike, and that is the Thoroughbred Center office over there, the main office. So just
that must hurt, be a trainer and an accountant. That must hurt like crazy.
Watch
see
all that,
that money,
money go,
go
out.
Away.
Well, maybe she's training for somebody else.
I don't know. But I can't imagine two not compatible things to do.
I think that she's trains for herself.
Oh.
Anyway. Sure. Well, anyway, she's new around here. I'm going to find out what she's doing here. You know, I'm nosy, so whenever anybody new shows up, I get them on the show.
Good.
And we'll find out what's going on. Dr. Doug Byers will be here to do his weekly veterinarian segment. Michael Blowen from Old Friends will be here.
Yeah, we have to find out how the wine, no, not wine tasting, bourbon tasting.
Yes, bourbon tasting. Look, he sobered up.
He said he was going to bring you some samples. We'll see.
I'm scared of bourbon. I'll drink my Sam Adams, but I stay away from that bourbon. That's a little too potent for an old man like me. Anyway,
it's
Michael.
It's good eggnog.
Is it?
We do it.
You better be a lot of nog in there, I'll tell you.
That's when I like one, at Christmas and at Thanksgiving. I like eggnog with a little bourbon in it. Not much, just to pep it up a little. Yeah. Otherwise, it's sloggy.
Okay. Well, Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, of course, that's published by Briss. We're going to get him to give us the winner of the Valdale Stakes down at Turfway Park today. We're doing still reviewing 1957 two-year-olds. If I get a shot, I'm going to talk about Jester, whom I remember. He was the first foal from the first crop by Tom Fool.
Oh,
First to arrive.
Brilliant.
First to start.
Is that right?
Yeah, first to win. And
he was good.
Yeah, he was good. Of course, he was a top two-year-old. Yeah.
What a great
George
name.
D. Widener bred him. You know, Tom Fool just had 9 foals in his first crop.
Really? Where did he stand?
Right up here at Green Tree.
Really?
Right up the road, which now is, of course,
Gainesway.
Gainesway.
Yeah.
You cross the creek, Elkhorn Creek, going out to Paris Pike, and it's right up on the right, and you turn back in there. In fact, he's buried back there. He's buried up there. Let's see. What else we're going to do? We've got Jackie's announcements. Oh. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Since we talked to you last, we've had, which I would assume would be last Saturday, unless I saw you somewhere else.
At the Jot 'em Down.
Over there getting a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had 9 winners. Now, I'm not sure how to pronounce this gentleman's name, but I'm going to give it a shot. I know just who he is. He gets on... horses. Used to get on horses for Eduardo Cutamori. And remember, Jackie, you had this, when you had that filly over there in bar 13?
Oh, yeah, real nice guy. He's from Brazil.
Yeah, his name is, the horse's name is Dorado Is Free. And his name is, are you ready for this?
Ta-da! Probably not.
He'll probably, you know, shoot.
Tell him to come on over and tell us.
Yeah, he'll have to tell me himself. Nice guy. Diocilio Cavalho.
Okay.
Boy, the silence is deafening around here.
Well, it ain't Irish.
Did you? No, it ain't Irish. Anyway, well, he's saddle winner. Eduardo Caramori, and he's another one from Brazil. Bobby Persad, Jimmy Cargan. Jimmy, of course, he's one of those Irishmen, you know. And Tom Bergen, he's another Irishman. In fact, Tom is married to Jimmy's sister,
yes.
Bernie.
Yes.
Who is the nicest one of the three.
I was going to say better than all the rest of them.
A hell of a lot cuter than both them. Selmer Olson won one. Bobby Sturgeon.
Oh, good.
Jimmy won another one yesterday. Yesterday, the 25th. And
yeah.
Bobby Persad. I don't know Bobby. I'm going to have to meet him. He saddled two winners down at Turfwood.
Eduardo, I thought, was from Argentina. I can't keep the Argentinians.
No, he's from Brazil.
He's from Brazil. Separate. Yeah, okay.
Jimmy, let's see. What was I going to say? You distracted me now.
Something about Jimmy Corgan.
No, it was before that. Oh, the hell with it. I'll go on.
Well, that's one way to get this.
Oh, I wanted to mention, of course, that, it was great big news that Zenyatta got bred on Wednesday, right?
Right.
And you know how she got to the breeding shed to see Mr. Bernardini?
Sally Vance.
Service.
I was going to be smart aleck and say, you know, $1 million, but no, Sally took her. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what a feather in their cap, because, you know.
They brought her here.
Oh,
they
yeah.
brought her here from California.
Yeah.
Yeah, they picked her up off the plane and took her out there, and she's going Sally Van.
Well, that's a great van service.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. Try calling Nicole Pirat and talk to her a little bit about it. I've been trying to get her on the show for over a year now.
Uh-oh, she's already listened.
Well, she yeah, darn it, another one we've run off.
We got to find those people in the dark.
whose truck with says Hillcrest Farm on it out there? I don't know. Somebody parked out here. Oh, well, Jackie, you want to start the announcements? And
all right.
Yeah, well, what time is it?
That.
Whoa, let me do some commercials, and then you do the announcements. I've got all kinds of commercials here. Stacks and stacks and stacks of them. Well, last Sunday at Santa Anita, the Grade II San Vicente Stakes was won by the Factor, 3-year-old colt, and the first crop by Warfront. He was sold at the Fasey Tipton Kentucky July yearling sale by Indian Creek, incidentally. The Factor broke his maiden on December 26th at Santa Anita, setting a new 6-furlong track record, 106-4. 106-4, now that is for 6 furlongs. Man, that's downhill, isn't it?
Woo!
Wow. That's about as fast as horses runs. And he sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-1 to win the San Vicente, missing the track record by just a fifth of a second. Leading all the way, he fought off challenges both early and late, proving that he's got heart to go with his freakish speed. Now, Warfront is compiling a remarkable record at stud. He's a sire of 44 starters in his first crop, 24 have won and 37 have placed. And if my math is correct, that's 37 out of the 44 that have won or placed so far. 4 have won stakes, and the fifth is placed in stakes. Sold at has won Grade 3 stakes, finished second in 2 other graded stakes, including the Grade 2's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and he won a nine furlong allowance race at Gulfstream by nearly 11 lengths. That was on January the 21st. Warning Flag has won stakes and placed in group stakes in Ireland. Tensus Punch won the $250,000 Louisiana Jewel Stakes. And Summer Soiree, third in the Blue Hen at Delaware last year as a 2-year-old, won an allowance race at Oaklawn on January 30 by over 9 lengths. So Warfront is a graded stakes winner. He's by the great sire Danzig. He stands at Claiborne Farm for $15,000 due in the foal stands and nurses. In other stakes, Arch and Arch, a 3-year-old colt by Arch, posted his second stakes win in 4 career starts when he won the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn, beating J.P. Guspo and 9 others just the other day. So inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Cowboy Cal broke his maiden as a two-year-old by 4.5 lengths at Belmont Park, running a mile 1:34 flat. Then he won the Law of Futurity by 6.5 lengths. At 3, he won Keenan's Grade 3 Bryan Station Stakes, the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby at Calder, getting the mile and an eighth and 1:46.4. Ran second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and the Grade 2 Hollandale Beach Stakes. At 4, Cowboy Cal won the Grade 2 Stroob at Santa Anita, ran a mile and 1:33 to take the Grade 2 Oak Tree Mile, won the Grade 2 San Pasquale at Santa Anita, ran second in the Grade 1 Turf Classic at Churchill to Einstein. Court Vision was third, and second in the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch at Saratoga. Third in the Grade 2 Four Star Dave, also at Saratoga, and in his final start, third in the Grade 1 Citation, retired with earnings of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal was a versatile runner with superior speed. He's by Giant's Causeway, the nation's leading sire in 2010 and 2009, and the sire of Quiet Giant, winner last Sunday the Rare Treat Stakes at Aqueduct. Cowboy Cal, $7,500 live foal, first foal to do this year, stands at Pin Oak Stud. Inquires to Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com. This sweater, I got this sweater for Christmas.
You look fabulous.
I'm afraid to ask what the damn thing costs.
Celtic Trends.
Did it come from Celtic Trends?
Yes.
Oh, well, good. That's a lovely little Irish store down in Midway, Kentucky.
Well, my daughter Carrie still owes you a beer store sweatshirt, remember?
Yeah.
What's this Owen thing? When are you going to bring this in?
She's like her mother. She kind of... independent.
Don't put it on Susan now. It's you. That's Dr. Byer I'm talking about there. And Michael Blowen, how did the bourbon tasting go today?
It went great. I think there are several people there had more than a taste.
I hope they stayed all night at the hotel.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes, they did. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We raised some money. They can't wait to do it again next year. And I can't thank the distillers enough. I mean, they were really, really nice. And the bourbon was great. And all the distillers that are on the bourbon trail all came.
All of them. Mm-hmm. How many are there?
Seven.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Seven different kinds of bourbon.
Yes.
And you had to sample all seven?
Ooh, yeah.
I'd have never made it home.
Some of that's why I went upstairs. I think I went upstairs. I'm not quite sure. I was upstairs when I was there in the morning, but I'm not sure exactly what route I took.
Yeah, well, I hope Diane was with you.
Yes, she was.
Okay.
Sober as a judge, as they say.
Well, one of you's got to keep me straight, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. That rules you out when I say one of you.
How many judges are sober?
Well, that's what I was
asking. We need a study.
Yeah, we do. Your tax dollars at work. Find out how many sober judges there are in Kentucky.
Well, you raise a lot of money. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Raised about $10,000.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah.
Man, how much did that come to a drink? You know,
that was pretty good. Well, it works out good for everybody, except, I think, the distillers. Except they had fun, I think. Well, they get to promote the bourbon and have a good time, and then the hotel gets to keep the money for the dinners and the rooms, and then we get everything that we can get from the silent auction and the live auction.
Oh.
But we did have some great items. I mean, people got real bargains. I mean, some of the paintings that we had that were absolutely gorgeous went for, like, $1,000, $1,200. So,
wow.
You know.
That's really neat.
Yeah, very nice.
Who donated, do you know?
Sure. My friend, Fred Kravoviak, who comes to visit every once in a while, he donated a wonderful portrait of Zenyatta racing that he did on copper. Mm-hmm. That's really, really nice. And that was actually the sail topper. You know, Fred had the sail topper. And Jim Reisenberger, who sells things at Damselfly, so he did a marvelous painting of Secretary and One of Mine That Bird. And I really wanted the One of Mine That Bird, but I got outbid.
Oh, you've been on. Oh, he's running them up. Right?
No, I wanted that one. No. I've gotten stuck a few times with stuff I didn't want, trying to run it up. So now I sit on my hands until there's something I really want.
He's got sidelines at Keeneland and Fazzie Tipton.
eBay, that's where his sidelines are.
Now, there's an idea. This lady came and gave us some great stuff this week. She just sent it from, she's from California, and she sent us some marvelous original photographs of Genuine Rest that were signed by Leroy Jolly, and a wonderful presentation folio of Secretariat when Secretariat got the Eclipse Award in 1973 at the Eclipse Award dinner.
Uh-huh.
There's a big presentation folio that's probably 16 by 20, and you open it up inside, and there's a beautiful picture of Secretariat, and it's signed by Ronnie Turcotte and then Penny Tweedy and Lucian Laurent.
Wow, that should be worth something.
Yeah.
eBay, here we come.
Well, I don't know. I think we'll save that for the Ferdinand's Ball, which is our next big event just before the Derby.
Oh, okay.
That'll be in Louisville.
Speaking of photographers and things like that, did you get this Saturday's racing form yet?
Did you
see the thing with Barbara Livingston?
Man of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
All about the, she got all these, what was that name?
Jim Sames.
Jim Sames left her all these negatives and pictures of Man of War's funeral. I've got a picture of Man of War taking a confirmation picture just 2 days before he died, a colored picture.
Wow.
And I have one of the only ones left of that, that Jim Sames gave me, actually.
Is that right?
He signed.
Did you know him?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
No.
Oh,
he died a few years ago. He was a great historian. He'd always come over to my house if there was a mistake in the racing form of the blood horse. He'd open up his briefcase and he goes, "I'll show you right here where it is."
Yeah. You met him down here?
Mm-hmm.
Golly, I'd love to have met him.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
A great guy. He's a very good friend and used to go around Midway. When I first came to Kentucky, I was on the Midway Historical Board, and he was one of the members, so we served on that board for a couple of years together, and he was terrific.
I wish I'd met him. Yeah, that I was at that funeral, you know.
Jim's or the the Man of War.
Man of War.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, right. Kind of dating myself now. I'm afraid my age is going to surpass my IQ here any day. You know.
It's closing fast on the outside.
It's closing in both directions, I'm afraid. The gap is narrowed, you know. But anyway, it was a big crowd. I've got a recording of that at home. In fact, I played it on the show several years ago. Maybe I'll play it back.
That's a great idea.
Next fall.
Personally, that'd be fabulous.
It lasts about half an hour, the thing, you know. And Bull Hancock gave a talk, and Leslie Combs, Ira Dryman, Joe Estes from the Blood Horse, and it was really
nice.
Good. These old, you know, all of them gone. Except Bill McGee. Bill didn't talk. Dr. McGee was his vet, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was Man of War's vet, and it brought back a lot of memories. I looked for my picture there, and I wasn't in any of them.
Yeah. You're too small at the time.
Yeah. No, I wasn't that small, but, you know, I was big enough where you could see me.
Yeah.
But I went with my dad took me.
Well, you may be in one of the other pictures that she didn't publish. She's got a lot of them.
Has she really?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart, isn't
she?
She's
wonderful. Yeah, she's a great photographer.
She can write, too.
Yes, she can. And that's how we got the name for Old Friends. We stole it from her book.
Yeah, well, I know that.
We stole practically everything we have, actually. I have to admit that. Even the name of the farm. We haven't had an original thought in 150 years. But at least we know who to steal from.
Well, that's who to steal from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not get caught.
Yeah. We actually called Barbara, and we called Eclipse Press, and we did everything above board before we stole it.
Well, I had on a show a couple of times. Once I interviewed her by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't like to do it by phone. I like to do it live.
She got a nice picture of Black Tie Affair up on her website. She has some wonderful pictures of Zenyatta. Mm-hmm. She was the first one, I think, to get access to Zenyatta.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some of the pictures really sell this game in a big way, and she really captures the, you know, there's a handful of them that are really, really great. Mm. Speaking of which, they're going to auction off some of Tony Leonard's stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, we were going to announce that.
Yeah.
As soon as Jackie does right now. Well, that's all right.
I didn't want to steal anybody's thunder, but I thought that's going to be really interesting.
Okay, there goes a siren. I guess we got a loose horse out here somewhere.
Where's Jackie?
Over by the three-quarter
pole. Okay, just checking. Oh, Jackie's over by the three-quarter pole?
Well, no, present company accepted.
Here he comes. He's coming the wrong way.
Coming the wrong way. We've had the second one this morning. Yeah. The other one went out the gap over there, and Outrider caught it. But so far, nobody hurt. Look at our medic over there.
Ashley's on this case.
She's...
Here he comes. Here comes, it's gray and
it's yellow saddle cloth and a gray horse. It went by so fast I couldn't see it.
Matt Straight.
Matt came off? Matt Straight was on? Is he okay?
Fall down or something?
Is he up?
Yeah. He's up.
Okay. Matt's been riding real well.
Boy, has he ever.
Yeah. He looks good. He won a race for Jimmy Cargan this last Sunday, was it? On a horse paid 30-something bucks.
Yes.
First-time starter.
That's right. And he rode him great. I watched that race.
Yeah, he really did. And the announcer, one of those announcers, that one of them knows what he's talking about, says he looked very polished.
Yeah. Yeah, he rode that horse perfectly.
Yeah.
Waited for it to open up. He was very, very, you know, he showed a lot of experience. He's very, very patient, waited.
And he's a nice guy. He's a nice young man. He is.
Well, Chris has a lot of great students over there, I have to say. Tyler Kaplan's doing well. I mean, all those
guys. Where is Tyler now? I heard he was in New York.
I think he's going to New York.
Yeah.
Where was he the last time I saw him?
Turf Paradise the last time I saw him.
Yep. That's where he was.
Is he still there?
No. I think he's gone to New York.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, boy. I don't.
That's a strong jump up in class.
Well, not only that, you know, it's tough to get mounts up there.
That's what I mean. It's just, even in Aqueduct in the winter, you got Ramon.
He can work a horse, you know. He's good on a horse, and so he'll get. You know, he can make it that way.
Right.
Yeah, and learn, and which is what he needed to do. Of course, he was just 16, you know, when he was 15 when he started into that school.
Amazing, and he's tiny.
Yeah, he's little.
Yeah.
Well,
at least he can eat what he wants.
He had a good clock in his head because he used to work at Philly that Jackie had, you know, and he was pretty good. He was a nice kid, too, well-mannered.
Yeah, great kid. Well, you know, Chris covers all the bases over there. It's not just how to ride a horse. They take business classes, and they do a lot of other things that are going to help them in life, no matter how their jockey careers turn out.
Well, some of them, there's a division of it over there where they just learn horsemanship.
Right.
They're too big to ride to begin with.
Yeah, and I think that part of the education is very important because up until Chris's school, basically, you showed up at the racetrack, they taught you how to ride a horse, and if you're good at it, you became a jockey and you won some races.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, you know, there were a couple of jockeys that came out of Suffolk Downs that were really, really good, and, you know, and they
and
ended
Chris
up...
Chris was one of them.
Well, yeah, but Chris really started in Maryland. He was a hot walker at Rockingham and Suffolk. He didn't ride much over there.
Is that...
He went to Maryland and made his mark. I think his agent told him, let's get out of here. We got to go someplace else.
Yeah.
That was very good advice.
A lot of good riders came out of Maryland.
Yes.
Yeah,
but there was a jockey who was really good at Suffolk. I thought he was going to become a really major league jockey named Norberto Arroyo. And he went up to New York, and he was winning race after race after race, but he's taking drugs and doing this, and he ends up in a pool hall at night, hits somebody with a member of his family, with his father-in-law, somebody with a pool stick, and attacks somebody else, and now he's in prison for 2 years.
Oh, my.
And he was a great jockey, but if Chris or somebody had taken him under his wing, he's a smart kid, he works hard, did all that kind of stuff, but, you know... he didn't know what to do with himself, and at night he went out and got in with the wrong crowd, and it was bad. And now he's in jail instead of competing in some Grade One races today.
Yeah. Can't get many rides there, can you?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take a break, and we'll get back. Maybe get Doc on here and see what's going on. Well, Ms. Mass has an outstanding crop of 2-year-olds going for him in 2011. Perhaps his best to date. He was bred to 149 mares in 2008. And remember, he has sired as many as 24 2-year-old winners in a single crop, and 9 of those 24 won a place in stakes. He was a sire of 13 stakes horses last year, 3 of them 2-year-olds, 8 stakes winners. Nearly half of his stakes horses earned black type and graded stakes. One of the nation's most versatile sires, Mizzen Mass, has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, artificial, and in four different countries, France, Italy, Japan, and, of course, the USA. He's also a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on the dirt, won group stakes around two turns in Europe. His pedigree provides an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospect of Lion Mares, and he stands at Judmont Farm for 12,500 live foal. Judmont, also the home of the young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense, he's buying Bridal Song out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Salute. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke and Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Jockey, you want to do this? We'll take a load off of Michael.
All right, yeah. I can talk about...
Ralph complaining again about my ads.
Not that you could publish. what quilt? We're talking about quilling leather and tack over in Paris, Kentucky. Straight in third light, look over on the left. They have calico foal and newborn halters for $16.95. Got to order them soon because they go fast. And they have what they call calico halters because they take leather, perfectly good, wonderful leather, but it's been left over. It's in smaller pieces. They use the smaller pieces to stitch together halters, and the pieces are just slightly different color, but just fine, and it's kind of fun anyway, and who, whatever. Anyway, to look at this, oh, gee whiz, I saw five foals on the way in today. So cute. So he's got newborn foal turnout halters. Oh, they have a special deal if you buy a dozen. So you want to check out online, quillin.com, Q-U-I-L-L-I-N. That's on the Internet. And their phone number is 987-0215. That's 987-0215.
Where are they, Jackie?
They're in Paris, Kentucky. I just said the third light straight in. What are you listening to?
Not much.
Take his beer. That's okay, honey. It's 6 o'clock somewhere.
Well, I want to say a little bit about the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's a unique organization over there. They specialize in elective surgery and outpatient medicine. All things like, arthroscopy. Is that the way you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about all these medical
terms.
He's
going to put you on the staff. You're going to go in and do surgeries. You said arthroscopy.
What did I say, arthroscopy?
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I said like anthropology or something. But anyway, fractures and upper airway problems, like tie backs and things like that, limb deformities and emergency orthopedics. Jesus Christ. lameness and sports medicine. I can't read. Dr. Bernard's going to fire me just as sure as I'm sitting here. But he's got a great facility over there.
It's hard to break your maiden the first dad,
Well, well, when you get to be my age? I told you my age was passing my IQ.
You may be going in for surgery.
I may be. But
now, Dr. Sutter's supposed to come over next week, right?
If he can get away, but I talked to him, and he said he'd come on next week.
He's a surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Went to Ohio State.
Dr. Wes Sutter, yeah.
Yeah.
He worked down at Ocala Equine Hospital, too. And like Bob Copeland, he's a resident. He went to his graduate of Ohio State. But, it's different because it's elective. That means you call up, you make an appointment, and then you go in and they take care of you, and then you go home. And keep sending you home that way kind of eliminates a lot of the problems with that you can get in a people can get in a regular hospital. You go in, for have your toe corrected or something like that, and you end up catching some strange disease. Well, this kind of cuts down on that. Isn't that right, Doc?
Yeah. Of course, they can clean at night when nothing's there, they can disinfect and have it ready for the next day.
Yeah. So it cuts down really dramatically on the risk for infectious diseases is what it does, by being an outpatient kind of a facility.
It's a beautiful facility.
Oh, it's state of the art.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It really is. I was really impressed.
And free coffee in the lobby.
Uh-oh. Well, you would know. See, there's that word coming up, free. Yeah. That's Dr. Bill Bernard, who was with Rood and Riddle for some 17 years, and he's in the heads of the outpatient medicine division of it. And, of course, Dr. Lori Bidwell is anesthesiologist. Hey, I got that one right.
Oh, that's
because
that girl.
Well, yeah, right. Anyway, so she takes care of all that. It's a great facility. Why don't you, to learn more about it, geez, I'd go by and look. If I were you, if find somebody to show you around, but you can go to their website or to their Facebook. Or it's LexingtonEquine.com is their website. The Facebook.com / Lexington Equine. Or give them a call over at 967-0770. And that's Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Lori Biddle and Dr. Wes Sutter. And once again, it's the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's new facility, state of the art. Go see it over there. All righty. We back. Who? Doc, we were going to talk to you now, I think, aren't we?
I guess.
You
talk at me?
Talk at you? I'll get you to do those commercials. You know how to pronounce all that fancy stuff. And
you were going to ask him, there's a couple of in the Thoroughbred Times and something else about that.
Yeah, I got a sheet of paper in here, something. Where it's, here it is. Here you go. A circle. For you, Dr. Beyer. Right there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, we've talked about this now.
Okay,
show,
I know.
And, you know, everybody's been asleep, but the nocardia is...
Yeah. Have you seen more of it this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it gets a little blown out of proportion in people's minds to some extent. There's people out there comparing it to MRLS, and that's just not the case, not even close. It's just a placentitis that they identify more commonly this year than they do. They track every year. Mm-hmm. And so you might see at the diagnostic laboratory 2 to 5 of anything unusual in any given year. And when they say they see 40, then they recognize that jump. And now one of the things that people need to be aware of is the diagnostic laboratory gets two products to look at, and that's the foal, the fetus that didn't make it, or the placenta of the mare, and it could be from a mare where the foal did make it. Mm-hmm. So you don't know the actual death toll that's out there. And then I think the other thing, and I make this announcement, is that there's a fee for examining those placentas if you bring them in. And the diagnostic laboratory has waived that fee, so it doesn't. There is no cost. So some people just, they lose the foal and they throw the placenta out. You know,
yeah.
So take it in and see if that's really one of the numbers that would count. And of course, it would be very useful to say, you know, the foal is a slow starter. It's weak, but it seems to be doing all right. It's nursing a mare, and it shows some infection.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to make it, and so they need to know that. Otherwise, they count it as a potential death, loss, or an abortion. So, because but the foal doesn't go in most cases if they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So there may be more placentas than you actually have foals.
Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't want to sidetrack you. I was curious when I saw that note.
No, it's out there, and I think some farms are very concerned about whether boarders or breeders are going to be concerned about coming into this area. Mm-hmm. It is not a concern, and it doesn't go from mare to mare. They know that.
Yeah.
So
very good.
Yeah.
All right. What did you have in mind to talk about?
Well,
that's what I had in mind.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about we'll pick on nocardia or weak or infected foals. So we'll say, what are the consequences of that? And I said they can be small, a little bit early, or they can be weak or slow starters. The other thing that can happen to them down the road a little bit is joint ill. So we get, and we don't recognize...
Joint ill, you said?
Joint ill,
okay.
Yeah. Or septic arthritis, if we want to use your kind of medical language.
Oh, no, go back to joint ill.
Is that foal bumps?
What's that?
Foal bumps.
whole
no,
bump.
No, it's a pithecitis or something. Yeah. And it,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, again, a couple of misnomers in jointial, which basically means you've got a joint infection. And some of those folds, it can be usually 7 days, 5 days, 2 weeks. So, you know, they have to have time for the infection to set up in that joint. And so that is, means that that fold has been septicemic. The bacteria or the bug has gotten into the bloodstream. And the joint and the bone areas that go to that joint have these arcs, they return flow. So they hit this loop, and if the bacteria is in there, it precipitates out, and you get more bacteria in that area, and the joints are immature. They don't have great barriers. And same as their blood-brain barrier, they get meningitis more commonly. They get other things like that. So the joint gets infected. And you can have what we call type S, which is just the synovial sheath or the capsule, is infected, and they're a little puffy. They're not that lame. And you put them on antibiotics, and they get better. Now, is it an emergency? Absolutely. It's not a true emergency, but it's something you don't sit on. You get that thing looked at. And ideally, what would happen is the veterinarian would tap that joint, get a sample of the fluid, and take it to the laboratory before you start those antibiotics. But as soon as that's done, start the antibiotics immediately, because it's going to be 72 hours before you get the results for the culture and sensitivity. So in the laboratory, they'll take that joint fluid and they'll analyze it, see what the white count is, you know, what the protein level is. If it's elevated, they say you've got an infected joint. And they look at the smear and they might see the bacteria, which could be gram-positive, gram-negative, and so very quickly, same day, you've got a pretty good handle on whether this thing has a lot of significance. So your gram-positives are the most common, and your gram-negatives are less common, but the gram-negatives are more severe, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can get the joint infected. Now, when you get in trouble is when that pole is really lame. The joint is distended, and it could be more than one joint. And most of the time, it's asymmetrical. It's not uniform mm-hmm. to the animal. So you can have a hock, and you can have a pastern joint. So and on different legs, or the same leg, you know. But in any event, if it gets into the bone, then you've got an osteomyelitis. And that's when it's significant. So the X-ray shows that bone is beginning to rot.
Ooh, bone.
Yeah, and that's when it's significant. Or the joint growth plate, the physis, gets infected. And you see that on the X-ray. And a lot of times those folds aren't that lame, and the joint is not that distended either, but it's in the bone, and that can be really serious. So if you see that, then Dr. Thorpe would say, you know, inject your antibiotics straight into that joint. I mean, into the bone. And then get that thing under control the best you can. And actually, those folds will do pretty well if you recognize and do it early. If you don't have bone of any significance where it looks like you need to inject, now they're all going to go on systemic antibiotics. And the antibiotics are going to precipitate and get higher concentration, just like the bug. Mm-hmm. Got into that loop, and so if you're on the right antibiotic, and that's key, always the key, then you get pretty good concentration to the fold, has a chance to get better. If you get this concern, then you lavage it. You know, you knock the fold down with short-acting anesthetic, and you put a needle in there, and you hook up your lavage fluid, and then you stick another needle on the other side, and you flush that joint. So you lavage the bugs and dilute the bugs that are in that joint. And usually the lavage irritates the joint a little bit, so he's sore from the procedure, but they're usually sound in a couple of days. So you give them a few days, and if they don't get better, then you lavage it again. You keep after this thing, and most of the time they do very well. Now, some of the things that are blamed that might not be appropriate is we've always, traditionally anyway, considered the navel to be where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you have to remember that the foal has all kinds of avenues for bacteria to get into the bloodstream. So some of these diarrhea foals will wind up with a joint ill a little bit later. So those are all what we call sequelae or the aftermath of this infectious process. Now, navel-wise, you always...
telephone doc.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a call.
He's got to go on an emergency call.
You know what?
Somebody just found out that their horse has this.
That is not mine.
That's mad.
That is not mine.
Now they got the bone infected, and they want Dr. Barnes to show up right away.
He's got three people waiting now.
Russell's
got to
go on a call.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys.
Well, you know, getting back to the navel... management for navels is, you know, you check it first day or so. Iodine used to be the thing you put on there topically. If you put too much iodine, you can dry it out too much and it becomes necrotic, and you also can create an iodine toxicity. So they've switched over to disinfectant products like Novasand and things like that that can be milder on that. And then some people, which we don't do much anymore, they had a lot of infected navels. They'd put clamps on there. Same thing in the human hospital. The clamps would go on the baby's umbilicus. They'd put on the foal's umbilicus. And that was supposedly so you wouldn't have a wick that would get into the environment and then the bacteria would go up that wick. As far as checking a navel and... this foal's got some joint ill, and so you check the navel. He's 10 days old, and everything feels fine. Then you may say, well, I'll ultrasound it so you can see if he's got an umbilical abscess. And the other thing that I've always felt, and I don't think there's any good scientific studies to say so, but when you have a rotten or an infected navel, but it's just... in the part that connects to the bladder, that's the urachus, and you get a persistent urachus, so that foal starts peeing through his navel.
Rude.
Yeah, and that's common. That's very common. And this foal is really pretty darn happy. You know, he doesn't really... He's urinating through his navel. That, to me, is an advantage because you've got an acidic, sterile solution that is lavaging that urachus 20 times a day, 30 times a day. You put them onto systemic antibiotics and let it heal from the inside out the way we want all wounds to kind of heal. Don't go in there and clamp it and start cauterizing it with silver nitrate and making it where he could actually get a hole in that urachus, and then the urine goes into the belly. And we call that uroperitoneum, and then they get toxic, and then they have troubles.
Can I interrupt you, Doc?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
Oh, De Haar won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile 133-3, beating Eclipse Award winner Midnight Elude. His buyer for the Cigar Mile was 114, a figure betted only by Horse of the Year Curling among all 3-year-olds that year. He also won the historic Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont, getting a mile in 134-1 with a 110 buyer. Covered the first 6 furlongs of the Jerome in 108-1. De Haar won a top allowance race at Saratoga over 9 furlongs by an eye-popping 13 3/4 lengths for a 107 buyer after he broke his maiden at Belmont by over 3 lengths. Small wonder that veteran turf rider Steve Haskin described him as freaky fast. De Haar is one of 10 Grade 1 winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup winner to sire 4 Breeders' Cup winners. And he's out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry, damn also the Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar, a full sister to De Haar. Irish Cherry won for $2,700,000 at auction, Sponge Sugar for $4,500,000. The first foals by De Haar race this year, he stands for $7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, in racing last Saturday, the winner of the Grade 2 San Luis Obispo at Santa Anita Champ Pegasus was bred by the partnership of Diamond A Racing and Arturo Vargas. Prince Will I Am, winner of the Grade II Mac Diomeda Stakes at Gulfstream, was bred by Roxanne Martin Stable in Anzac. And Law's Grade II Barbara Fritchie winner, Harissa, was raised at Susie Shoemaker's Lantern Hill Farm for breeder Jeannie Bruce. McCauley Brothers is proud to include Diamond A, Roxanne Martin, and Susie Shoemaker among their valued customers. McCauley's is the only feed mill in Kentucky and the first in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. And this single-minded devotion is producing dividends for their customers. So join the winning team. Call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or talk to them about your particular needs. Or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. One more. A breeder mare to the multiple greatest stakes winner, Hold Me Back, this year. Pay the $6,000 fee when a foal stands and nurses, and you'll receive a free lifetime breeding right. One payment, that's it. Just sit back and watch him run. Hold Me Back is standing his first season as stud, and he has all the prerequisites to become a successful sire. He was precocious, winning his first two starts as a two-year-old. That was at Arlington and at Keeneland. At three, won the Grade II $500,000 Lane's End Stakes, ran second in the Grade I Bluegrass, and also in the Grade I Travers, besting the likes of Quality Road and Warrior's Reward in the latter. And he won the Grade III Dominion Stakes at Woodbine at four for earnings over $872,000. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway out of a daughter of top sire and bridal song and champion race mare Vowel from a family loaded with black type. In fact, it's the family of the great Tom Fool. He's also a superb individual. Bill Mott described him as imposing. Your inspection is encouraged at Windstar Farm. And once again, pay the $6,000 stud fee when the foal stands and nurses and receive a free lifetime breeding right. One and done. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Are we back live again? We just run old Molly
just
Run.
Just barely live.
Just barely live. I know the feeling. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When the horse has an infected bone, is it the middle part of the bone that makes the blood? Is that where it's infected? Outer bony part, too?
It can be anywhere. Basically, the foal is more susceptible because the growth plate is there.
Yeah.
And the vessels and the permeability of the joint capsule is higher.
Yeah.
So you can have a low enough concentration of bacteria in the bloodstream that the foal's not that sick, but it settles into that bone and joint. Now, when you really want big trouble is when you get a bone infection in an adult.
Oh.
And unfortunately, probably the majority of those, I mean, it can happen with extremely ill horses, but it's pretty uncommon. The most common source is joints getting injected at the racetrack. The veterinarians live in somewhat of fear. They do the joints commonly at the request of either owners or adult horse, the race horse is a little bit sore, and they say, well, we're going to inject his hocks. And then you always watch those animals, make sure in the next two or three days, or maybe even a week, that they don't have any unsoundness. And if you do, then you need to jump on that and respect the fact that you don't have bony changes yet. But if you've got a horse that develops a lameness and then is treated and then slowly develops bone changes on the x-rays, then, again, you're looking at something that could wind up being euthanized.
Mm.
And that's a severe consequence. And veterinarians will do procedures like what they call regional limb perfusion. We'll put a tourniquet on, they'll knock that horse down, most times they'll knock them down, and they'll put a tourniquet on the leg above where they're going to try and perfuse that bone, and they'll inject the antibiotics into the vessels below the tourniquet or distal to the tourniquet and let it sit there for 20 minutes or so before they take that tourniquet off to get the antibiotics deep into that bone. You can inject straight into the bone if you can get to that site, and you can use ultrasound guidance or your x-ray and kind of see. But the main thing is it's a serious problem in the adult. I mean, you're full, you've got more access to the foal as far as everything's smaller, and you treat them. Now, it doesn't mean that you couldn't have one that you lose, but the majority of them do fairly well. When we see it commonly enough in foal. If you don't see it that commonly, the percentages are low that the adult horse is going to get it. But again, the most common is that vocabulary word, iatrogenic, means you caused it.
I'm glad he said that.
Well, you know, it's iatrogenic infections or iatrogenic problems, you know, means, and a lot of times you have no control over that. You give a horse a shot of penicillin, he drops over. He has a reaction. And, you know, that the horse wouldn't have dropped over if you hadn't given the penicillin. Mm-hmm. So that's iatrogenic, but that's part of the game.
Mm.
You mentioned Dr. Bernard's hospital as an effort to decrease nosocomial infections. Nosocomial mean hospital-oriented.
Okay.
So
that's the way I would have said it.
Yeah. So joint ill is not intimidating. Yeah. But it is something that you respect.
Yeah.
And so you treat them, and a lot of them do it. Now, what happens to these guys when they grow up to be a racehorse? You know, is that going to be? No, they get over all of that. And, of course, what are we injecting these joints for? Sometimes these horses aren't lame, but we're putting steroids, which will block their ability to withstand infection if you do have contamination. But these joint products, chondroitins and the lubricant stuff.
Yeah.
So products that you don't go into the joint where you give it IV or intramuscular or some of them even in the feet, although they don't absorb it very well from oral, you know, that's preferable. If we don't need to inject it, let's not be doing that.
Okay.
So, okay?
All right. All right, Michael?
Well, I hope people come out and see the horses today. You know, they're jumping around. Falcon Scott's acting like the kid that he is, and they're all having a really good time. It's
who is acting
day.
Like it?
Falcon Scott.
You
I told you the Falcon Scott story, didn't I?
No.
Oh, well.
Let's hear it. Go on.
Okay. In the
I guess we're going to hear this whether we want to hear it or not. Go ahead.
In the middle of Zenyatta, well, not toward the end of Zenyatta's racing campaign, might have been right after her 17th win, I got a call from Dottie and Gordo Sheriffs, and she said to me, Michael, you have to help Jerry, referring, of course, to Jerry Moss. And I'm thinking, well, here's Jerry Moss, you know, A&M Records. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's got Zenyatta. He won the Derby with Giacomo. How am I going to help him?
Yeah.
Well, apparently what had happened is a few years earlier, he had sold Falcon Scott as a breeding prospect because he's a half-brother to Giacomo and to Tiago.
Okay.
And that was fine. And he found out that he was actually back on the racetrack and he was running in $2,500 claimer up at Fairmount Park.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And he was horrified because, you know, he liked this horse a lot. And in any case, so we called Maggie Moss. Because he knows that we're bottom feeders too, you know, that if it's $5,000 or less, we probably know what we're doing.
Yeah, right.
So we called Maggie Moss, and Maggie claimed the horse for us for $2,500. It cost another $1,000 to bring him down here because Sally Vance doesn't go up there. We couldn't do it for free like they usually do.
They anyway, always send you to the breeding shed.
I know they did. Yes, they did. They got the right people.
Who else would you call?
Nobody. Anyway, ended up costing about $3,600 for soup to nuts to get Falcon Scott to the farm, and Jerry sent us a check for $10,000.
Oh my
so,
goodness! Wow.
Worked out good for the horse, worked out good for us.
Tell him you'll claim a horse a week for that.
Exactly. I didn't know there was going to be this much money involved with horse retirement. Yeah. You know, we get a lot of money out of these horses that can't run anymore. Don't run, please.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there are. So he's there, and he's a wonderful horse. He's very friendly, and it's a lot of fun. And then we also have a horse named Delay of Game, who's one of our recent acquisitions from Rusty Arnold.
Okay.
And this is a great deal, too, because Rusty called me. I remember Delay of Game because I used to bet on him all the time. The poor guy, every time he showed up in the starting gate, he was always up against somebody big, up against Medaglia d'Oro or on any given Saturday. Or, you know, he always finished second or third, always fill out the exotics, and a really, really honest horse. And he earned about $800,000 doing this. And he's 17 years old now. And Rusty wanted to retire him, and I explained to him that we didn't have a lot of room. And then he said, well,
I think the horse had been retired. He was over Rusty's dad's farm.
That's right.
Yeah, and, of course, George passed away.
That's right, and they needed a spot for him. Well, anyway, because Rusty's on the board at Fasig Tipton every year, Fasig Tipton donates a significant amount of money to nonprofits for every member of their board. And so Rusty sent the money over to us, sent the horse over. We were able to fix up another paddock and put it in a water, do all that kind of stuff, and give him a good home. So
that's great.
It's our latest attractions.
Yeah, very good.
So come and see him. It's going to be a nice day today. It'll be warm. I know Bluegrass Tours is coming by a little bit later, and come by. We'll have some fun.
All righty, Michael. Thank you. Michael Bloin from Old Friends.
Ursel, thanks very much.
All right. Mary Jane, we're running awful late down there. I'm going to do these the next three spots, and if you want to play the station ID at the top of the hour, we'll work out. Yeah, I know. But she can play the station ID, and then we'll catch up on the others. However you want to do it down there, young lady, you do a whole lot better job at it than I do. Well, according to statistics published by the Blood Horse, Dinah Former was the leading sire of graded stakes winners in 2010 with 12. The Blood Horse also shows Malibu Moon as having sired the winners of over $8,558,000 last year to rank third on the North American sire list. Graded stakes winner Temple City is the son of leading sire Dinah Former, out of a half-sister by Danzig to the leading sire Malibu Moon. Now that's a sire pedigree. Temple City was a runner, won his first start, going 6.5 furlongs and won 15-1. Won a pair of 1 mile allowance races at Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, the latter in 1:34 flat. Then moved to Del Mar and finished second in the Grade 2 Del Mar handicap, beating less than a length. In subsequent stakes, he was second by a head in the Grade 2 American handicap, ran in record time to win the Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap, that's also at Del Mar. And in the final start of his career, dropped a head-bobbing decision in the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Turf Cup. Temple City is standing his first season at stud for $5,000 doing the full Stanza Nurses. Stanza Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, I got some statistics from my good friend David Schweitzer over at KTA. I think it's published either, they're going to publish these for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders or the KTA anyway, but since 1984, 70% of North American Breeders' Cup winners were bred in Kentucky. Kentucky breeds have won more wins and higher earnings than horses bred in any other state. In 2010, Kentucky breeds won 62% of all U.S. graded stakes, 62% of all U.S. Grade 1 stakes, and 8 of the 12 Eclipse champions were bred in Kentucky. That's 66%, I would figure. So you can't get much better than that. Nearly 60% of the 2-year-olds ranked on the 2010 experimental free handicap were Kentucky bred. That's 113 out of the 191. And top-ranked horses of the 2010 experimental free handicap are Kentucky bred. So that's pretty good for the state. I think maybe Benny Bell compiled all this over at her advertising agency down in Versailles. And anyway, this is from the KTA and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. Now, let's see. Grand Slam has sired 60 stakes winners to date, and one of his fastest sons is Visionaire. Now, Visionaire won the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga, out sprinting a superior field of sprinters Well, in the field was the Eclipse Award winner Kodiak Cowboy. The King's Bishop has served as a springboard for a number of winners that went on to success at stud. Last year's leading sire of 2-year-olds, More Than Ready. Tail of the Cat, number 5 on the general sire list, so they come readily to mind. Visionaire also won the Grade 3 Gotham Stakes in New York, just like his famed grandsire, Gone West. He won the allowance races at Saratoga and at Gulfstream, broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at law. Grand Slam sired the winners of over $5,700,000 last year to rank once again among the nation's leading sires and above the likes of APNDL, Prado, Empire Maker, and Awesome Again on the sire list. And Visionaires, I've got lip trouble this morning or something.
Maybe it's frozen.
Maybe it's frozen? Okay. Well, anyway. And let's see, Visionaire's female family is also loaded with black type. Visionaire is a good-sized, well-balanced individual. He exudes class. Go see him. We think you'll like what you see. His first foals are due this year. And if they resemble their sire, there will be knockouts. He stands for $6,000, doing a foal stands and nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. And check the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
All right, Jackie, you want to do a few?
Yes, I do.
Wait a minute, we're doing something here. Oh, that was Start All Over Again.
All right. Starting All Over Again. Do I know that?
Yeah.
Can you hum that tune?
Well, probably not. Go ahead.
Okay. This is pretty interesting. Ted Bates, whom we all know and love, is closing down his horse farm operation, having a going out of business sale starting March the 1st. That's Tuesday. Anyway, he's been operating on a section of Wamazon down here on Paris Pike for 22 years. It's just a couple of hundred yards past the Lexington Country Club on the left. If you're coming out, you can't miss the sign, Wamazon. It's on a big stone fence. Anyway, everything goes. Tack, water buckets, feed tubs, a Chevy pickup truck, and a two-horse Chevy van. I know somebody that's looking for a two-horse. I need to put that on the internet when I get home. Everything's going to go. Now, Ted's number is 293-6448, 293-6448, or just drive on in starting March 1st.
Yeah, I hate to see that. Ted's such a... What a nice guy he is, he just decided he'd had enough. He'd been at that location for 22 years.
Yeah.
And, he just decided to shut down. And
well,
and
I hope he has fun.
I hope he does,
too. I hope he has a good time. You have to come up here and see us.
Yeah, and come up here and help clock. Come
exactly.
On up,
yeah. Absolutely. That's
we need all the help we can get.
Precisely.
And that started the first week in March.
March the 1st is Tuesday.
That's this coming Tuesday.
That's when I get my new refrigerator.
Yeah, and you know anything he... God, I'm tired of hearing about that. That's when I pay for her new refrigerator. Anyway, you know that anything that he had would be first class and well taken care of.
So. Now that he's retired, he'll have to come out and I'll fix him something out of my new refrigerator. All right, shall I go on?
Go ahead.
Real quick. Okay, Tony Leonard is a horse photographer that we've known forever and a day.
Known Tony forever.
Ever. He's in a nursing home, and he has somebody that kind of looks out for his stuff. Anyway, Sunday, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the Bluegrass Auction and Appraisal is going to sell a bunch of his stuff. Not the negatives, but a lot of great photography and stuff. Now, this place is 1387 New Circle Road. What means is, you know where Winchester Road crosses New Circle. Okay, head south, and it's like four stoplights down on the left. It's 1.2 miles south. That's heading toward Richmond on New Circle Road, and look for Bluegrass Auction. That's 2 o'clock tomorrow. Hope...
You lost me already.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I'll drive. Okay. Thoroughbred Charities of America still have some seasons available from their stallion season auctions. That's 276-4989, or go online, tca.org. TOBA, 2011 seminars and clinic, May 5th at the Derby Museum in Louisville, of course. New owner seminars. That's always a very popular one you need to call them. Pedigree and confirmation. They've got one in Ocala. They'll be at Saratoga, but Lexington is October 10th and 11th. And a breeding clinic. This is another good one. May 27th through the 29th here in Lexington. And that's, no, let's see. Yeah, anyway, to check it out, toba.org.
Yeah, no, anyway.
Well, I was trying to think. May 27th through the 29th is between the Preakness and the Belmont. That's what I was thinking of.
Can I interrupt you just 1 second?
Why don't you? You always do.
I'm a goner. Last Monday at Aqueduct, the Holly Hughes Stakes was won by B. Bullish, a six-year-old son of Pure Prize. B. Bullish won his first start at two and went on to win four stakes, placing six other stakes, earned nearly $500,000. He's a typical Pure Prize. In fact, Pure Prize has sired 23 stakes winners, 10 graded stakes winners, and six grade one winners. He was represented by 17 stakes horses last year. Listed among those 17 stakes horses are three grade one winners, and past Pure Prize runners include the brilliant multiple grade one stakes winner Pure Clan, winner of nearly $2 million. Graded stakes winner Pure Prize is by Stormcat, out of Eclipse Award winner Heavenly Prize by Seeking the Goal. You won't find a better pedigree, and Pure Prize is a proven sire of top-class stakes winners. He stands at Vinery, so contact John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, and ask why we think he's one of the best bargain sires in Kentucky. The number at Vinery is 455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I elect a group of financially sound, reputable companies so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, Holy Bull just may be our next sire of sires. The grade 2 $300,000 Risen Star Stakes, run last Saturday, was won by Mucho Macho Man, and he's sired by a son of Holy Bull. Mucho Macho Man is a colt to watch for the upcoming classics. Of course, Holy Bull is already sired a Kentucky Derby winner, and he's sired six grade 1 stakes winners, and one of the six is Flashy Bull. Flashy Bull was a precocious two-year-old, broke his maiden at Belmont by five lengths, and in his very next start, he finished second to Bluegrass Cat in the Remsen. Went on to win grade 1 stakes. That was the Stephen Foster at Churchill. Won the grade 3 William Donald Schaefer at Pimlico. Won top of allowance races at Aqueduct and Gulfstream. And he placed in two more graded stakes for earnings over $844,000. He concluded his career with four consecutive wins, culminating with his impressive score in the grade 1 Stephen Foster. Flashy Bull is passing on his superb confirmation. Last year, 15 of his first crop yearlings sold for $30,000 or more, including a colt at Fazy Tipton for $100,000. He stands for $6,000. Live foal. Special breeding incentives are available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud, and the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Moving right along. Okay, Arthur, you can shut up now. I think I've got Steve Moody with me now. Steve Moody, the author of the Kentucky Handicap of Sheep, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, Arthur.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, my friend. Who's going to win the Valdale Stakes down there today?
Well, nine three-year-old fillies drawn for this race. Three or four of them coming back from the Cincinnati Trophy Stakes last time out. That race at 6.5 furlongs. They're stretching out to two turns today, going a mile. And I kind of like the horse that won the previous stakes. That was Angelica Zapata. I thought that I liked her pretty well in that previous stake race. I thought she could take advantage of what looked to be a fairly quick early pace and be able to run past the leaders that were out there dueling in the early part of it. And I think she's got a chance to do that today. I think the mile will suit her pretty well, and she'll lay off in a pretty good spot in the early part of it and be in position to make her run when they turn for home. The four-horse Golden Phoenix was the favorite in the Cincinnati Trophy, but kind of got caught up a little bit in the speed battle and tired a little bit late. She comes back in here today at a pretty nice price at 12-1 in the morning line, and I don't think you can dismiss her. I think that she's got a chance to carry her speed in here. Maybe not quite as much speed as in the previous race, so I think she could be right in the thick of it when they turn for home. So I'm definitely going to use her in there at a, certainly in the exact at a, hopefully she'll be a decent price. And then, the, of course, the bottom horse, Kenny McPeak's got Harlan's Ruby, who probably is the class of this field, was second in the Alcibiades last fall and then came back, ran the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. Didn't run particularly well in there, but, you know, dropping down in here to a listed stake, going from a grade one down to a listed stake, you got to take a long look at her. She's actually the favorite in the race at 5-2. Has been off about 3 months. Almost four months. And, you know, if she runs her best, she could definitely, handle this group, you would think. She's got the two turn experience. And, her numbers, don't look, great. But, again, I think she does have a class edge, and you have to take a look at her. So, I'm gonna go with the Cincinnati Trophy winner. Take her right back today. Angelica Zapata will go 8-4-9 in Spaldell.
Okay, that filly, of course, is trains right here at the Thoroughbred Center. Ron Pellegrini trains that filly, so I'm wishing him well on that one, and I hope you didn't jinx him.
Well, I hope so. I picked her last time when she won, so. Hopefully she can make it 2-2.
Yeah, I hope she does. How's Florida going to do today?
Well, you know, we're playing at we're at home, so we ought to be safe. You know, we're like Jekyll and Hyde. We look like world beaters at Rupp Arena, and we look like a high school team when we go on the road.
Well, yeah, I don't understand it, but whatever. You know, it's just one of those things. I guess it's. Who knows? I thought Florida looked real good against Georgia the other day, and they're kind of scary down there. Of course, they were playing at home too, but
they don't have really anything to. They've got the Eastern Division locked up.
Got it locked.
And I guess they've, you know, trying to nail down the overall conference championship. Mm-hmm. But you know, we still have a chance to finish second, as crazy as that seems.
Yeah, so, if we went out,
we've got to. If we can do that, then it would certainly benefit this team because they're so thin. The possibility of them winning four games in 4 days just doesn't seem very likely.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. We thank you, sir. And it's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and you can find that wherever. You can get a daily racing form. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right,
well, last Sunday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes was won by the Factor, a 3-0 colt from the first crop by Warfront. The Factor broke his maiden on December 26th at Santa Anita, setting a new 6-furlong track record of 106-4, and he sprinted 7 furlongs and 120-1 in the San Vicente, missing the track record by just 1/5 of a second. Leading all the way, he fought off challenges both early and late, proving that he's got the heart to go with his freakish speed. Warfront is compiling a remarkable record at stud. He's assigned 44 starters in his first crop, 24 have won and 13 have placed. 4 have won stakes and 1/5 has placed in stakes. His Soldat has won Grade 3 stakes, finished second in two other graded stakes, including the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and he won a 9-furlong allowance race at Gulfstream by nearly 11 lengths on January 21. Warning Flag has won stakes and placed in group stakes in Ireland. Tense's Punch won the $250,000 Louisiana Jewel Stakes, and Summer Soiree, third in the Blue Hen of Delaware as a two-year-old, won an allowance race at Oaklawn on January 30th by over 9 lengths. War Fun is a graded stakes winner by the Great Sire Danzig. He stands at Claiborne Farm for $15,000 doing a full stanza nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
And let me add to that that the factor, we just talked about him, and he's by Warfront, who stands over Claiborne Farm, and he just won the Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes, and he was purchased as a weanling by Iroquois Bloodstock, and that's a Pinhooking division of Indian Creek, and then Indian Creek sold him as a yearling. So they sold another good one there. They sold a bunch of good ones down through the years, and no telling how good this colt is. He's scary fast. He's two for two now, and won the San Vicente in 120 and change for 7 furlongs. Broke his maiden going 3/4 in 106 and change. Lord have mercy, I've never heard anything like it. I mean, I don't care if it was downhill. That's moving. And anyway, that's when you see those Indian Creek sales consignments, if you want something like the Factor, well, go take a look. And they've sold a lot of good ones. That's Shaq Parrish and his group down in my favorite Bourbon County. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the great $250,000 San Luis Obispo was won by Champ Pegasus, a 5-year horse by Fusiichi Pegasus. Champ Pegasus outdueled the multiple graded stakes winner Bourbon Bay with Grade 1 stakes winner Hamish High, third. Bred and owned by the Diamond A Racing Corporation and Arturo Vargas, Champ Pegasus has posted 5 wins, 4 seconds, and a 3rd from 11 starts. Victories in the Grade 1 Clement L. Hirsch and the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap last year, plus seconds in 3 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf, for earnings of over $1 million. He was one of 9 2010 stakes winners by Fusiichi Pegasus, a list which also includes the Grade 2 stakes winner Distinctive Dixie and My Jen, and the 2-year-old Grade 3 winner Premier Pegasus. Now, according to stats published by the Thoroughbred Times, he sired Fusiichi Pegasus, sired the winners over $11,533,000 last year, edging out his stablemate at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, and of course that's Giant's Causeway, to rank number 1 on the general sire list. Taylor the Cat, also at Ashford Stud, ranked 3rd. The only Kentucky Derby winner by the great Mr. Prospect, the Fusiichi Pegasus, stands for $15,000 live full at Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. Alrighty, my guest is running late. She had a horse, one more horse to track, and she had one tie up, I understand, so that happens.
That happens.
It's happened to us.
Yeah, it does. It stinks.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's
complications arise, yeah, but she said she'd get here as quick as she could.
As quick as she could. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do some more announcements.
Go ahead.
Okay, today is February 26th, Saturday. It's indoor polo at the horse park. No surprise there. Tomorrow is Mid-South Games. Now, that's Mid-South Pony Club. That's got a little horse crazy little girl. Get them out there and let them see what it's like. And that it's a great thing. keeps them off the streets and out of the malls. Whew. Let's see, February 28th, that's 2 days, through March the 3rd is the American Farriers Association Foraging Competition. That's a kind of an interesting thing to watch. February 4th, does that sound like next weekend? That sounds like next weekend. Country Air Indoor Series. This is a series of horse shows. If you want to take a look at what... Next Friday, okay. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday then, next weekend. Oh, it's so nice. The horse shows are getting going again. Ooh, that means spring is here. Check that out at countryair.com. And March 5th, that's Saturday, Keeneland, Saturday and Sunday. Also, yay, Keeneland Pony Club Mounted Games. It's another keenelandponyclub.org if you want to check that out. Sean Dameron's back in business. Must have been something about clearing out the prisons. Yuck, yuck, just kidding. No, he was in Florida. I'm just joking. Anyway, he's doing a lot of this Dameron Cams business. He puts up video cameras on farms and in places of business. And you can send that signal to computers. You can send it to your cell phone and keep up with what's going on. Overall, it's a cost saver because you don't have to have somebody hanging out there looking when you can, you know, do it yourself. It's an excellent idea. Of course, he does Dameron Tech, too. He's working on our website. Ursel, he's going to put... On the new website, he's going to put a man-of-war corner and put up a bunch of man-of-war videos and pictures and stuff. God knows we've got enough of them. And, you know, some history stuff and make it real a lot more interesting. So anyway, you need to get a hold of Sean. He's 230-6449, and he's down in Versailles, jammed in between two churches. God help us. 230-6449. I got a nice notice from the KTA, KTOB registrar and stuff. They are going to they distributed $10 million in Thoroughbreds Awards. So Kentucky is a good place to breed a horse. Okay. Cross-country schooling is coming up at the horse park. Now, it costs $20 to park, and it's $35 a session. Howsomever, if you want to go for free, you can get a pass. If you run out and help them one day, pick up on that cross-country course. Now, these cleanup days are March 12th and March 19th. That's two weekends. Those are Saturdays, aren't they? 12th? Look at that. I can't turn around. So 12th is Saturday.
No.
There's stuff on the wall. There's calendars on the wall.
Why doesn't that entail getting up?
Huh. Okay, thank you. March 12th and March 9th. Thank you, Ashley. Those are Saturdays. They're going to clean up from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., park at the Secretariat Polo Field. Not that Secretariat ever played polo. Pick up a trash bag and get directions. Anyway, this is good because schooling days start Sunday, May 15th. So you can do it for free. And if you want to go to all five of those schooling days, I mean, 5 times 35 is a lot of money. Think about it. Right? I think it's a lot of money. I don't know, maybe it's not a lot of money. Okay, there's going to be an immigration forum hosted by Bluegrass Farm Charities. That's a lawyer from Wyatt Tarrant Combs going to be there Tuesday, March 8th at noon. This is going to be 340 Legion Drive, Suite 20. Listen, call Mary Lee Butte, 219-0910. How's that? 219-0910. Or you can Google Bluegrass Farm Charities.
Well, Ms. Mass has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going farm this year, perhaps his best to date. He was bred to 149 mares in 2008, and remember, he sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop, and 9 of them won a place in stakes. He was a sire of 13 stakes horses in 2010, 3 of them two-year-olds. 8 stakes winners, and nearly half of his stakes horses earned black type and graded stakes. one of the nation's most versatile sires. Mizzen Mass has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial, and in four different countries: France, Italy, Japan, and of course the USA. He is also a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on the dirt and group stakes around two turns on the grass. His pedigree provides an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares, and he stands at Judmont Farm for 12,500 live foal. Judmont is also the home of the young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. He's buying bridal song out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, see the website at judmont.com.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Tom Biederman, Real Estate and Auctioneers, but I want to talk about two particular properties. These are unbelievable. The first is in Woodford County. It's a historic Kentucky farm and estate, 125 acres of park-like bluegrass property, including the famed Glens Creek. It has a meticulously renovated 1820 federal residence. You got to see it to believe it. It's a stunner. They've got a large carriage house, sport horse barn with five stalls with an apartment. It's got a new 18-stall horse barn with an apartment. This is the real thing. This is super duper. Their number, of course, 277-3020. And then there's another one I wanted to mention. It's...
She goes through this website and picks out the one she likes. Huh?
Oh, I know. I know. Anyway. This other one, 6,000 Greenwich Pike. It's 313 acres. It used to be a part of Dixiana. They called it Woodland. And who
Walter
had
Hillenmeyer.
Walter Hillenmeyer. He really fixed it up.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of property, great land.
Oh, my goodness. It's a wonderful road. It's not anywhere they're going to four lane on you or anything. So anyway, these are beautiful properties. Go to Biederman Auctioneers. What's their website?
BiedermanBrokerage.com.
Yeah, BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com, and check out these listings. The phone number is 277-2030.
Right. All righty.
What should I do?
As soon as...
Sit here and... Yeah, should I do a
No, go
more?
Ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead again.
The Horse Park Foundation is going to have a preview show of Tony Leonard Wilson's Spring Hack Collection. If you're going to Keeneland or you're going to the Derby, this is a big deal. They're featuring the cuisine of the Kentucky Horse Park chef, Adam Wade. He used to be at Murray's. And anyway, it's a very nice thing. It's at the farmhouse, which is that nice club residence, former residence at the horse park. I went over there with Betsy Fishback.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice. Anyway, this due is Wednesday, March the 23rd, lunch from 11:30 to 1:30. It's only $25. You need to RSVP because it's not the biggest place you've ever been, but it is one of the nicest. So, 255-5727. Oh, colostrum's low, we're not surprised. You mayor guys out there, if you can, start collecting some, please. Haggard's, Rudenriddle, and Woodford Equine Hospital. Lexington Equine Humane Center has a horse of the week. I don't have one. I didn't get it this week, but last week it was Master Fun. He's a thoroughbred Bay 5 gelding, 15-3. He raced. He's sound. He's cute as a button. Truthfully, he's a nice size for a pony clubber. He's 15-3, which means he's not too big to get up on. And he just is gorgeous. And you know how little girls like gorgeous horses. Now, there you are. On the other end, there's CannerUSA.org. CannerUSA will list a racehorse, former racehorse of yours, for free. And what it is, it's just a listing service, nationwide listing service. They have helped transition 12,000 racehorses into new careers. So you guys, and you can charge for them. You can put a price up to $4,999. I think that's got something to do with taxes, but I'm not sure. Anyway, go to CannerUSA.org.
We never had one worth that much.
True. Well, let's see. How many lengths do you have to get beat for $5,000 to be worth a quarter?
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Well, okay, there's a local number, 608-0043, but the easy thing is to go to cannerusa.org. National Horse Show's moving to the horse park. They've given us a date, which I've lost, but it's in November. That's when I'm going to now, doggone it. That's a big deal. They're going to do it in the new Alltech covered arena.
They used to have that in Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden, and then they moved it somewhere, Syracuse, I think, New York, and it just,
it's not
horse country, didn't fly. So this is really, really a big deal. Ah, it's a feather in the hat for the horse park and everybody out there. Oh, the Saddlebred Museum is open with this exhibit. It's called Saddlebreds and Personalities from the Silver Screen, Cinema, and History. I'm dying to go because my friend Flicka, that I remember, I think it was black and white television, National Velvet and Fury were all saddlebreds, registered saddlebreds. Yeah. Cracks me up.
That's depressing, isn't it?
Hey, General Sherman had a saddlebred. Never did like him, did you?
No.
Clark Gable didn't. I like him.
Okay, it figures.
So, boy. I mean, who wouldn't? Okay, High Hope coming up the day after Preakness at the horse park. And it's back. They didn't have it last year because of the World Games. And they had to tear up the course. So I don't know what they did. But anyway, it's back on the National Steeplechase Association schedule. So that is always a fun day, especially if it's nice weather. It's even fun if it's not nice weather.
Yeah, okay. All right, I don't know if my interviews are going to be able to make it or not, but that happens when you're in the horse business. You get something.
I want to tell you one more time. I said once in the last hour, Ted Bates is closing his horse farm operation, going out of business, March the 1st. It's out here on Wamazon. Go out Paris Pike, a couple of hundred yards past Lexington Country Club. On the left, you see the big sign. Everything goes, tack, water buckets, feed tubs, a Chevy pickup truck, and a two-horse Chevy van.
Yeah, Ted's going out of business. I hate to see that. Ted.
Wonder what he's going to do now. Probably song and dance man.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. I asked him, and he doesn't know at this stage of the game, but, you know.
Yeah. Enjoy himself.
Nice guy and a great horseman, so. I hate to see those kind of guys go retire or whatever, you know.
He could be consultant.
A consultant?
Here comes somebody in a convertible. Is that your...
Oh, I hope so. Let's see. Is it a lady? Yeah, I think so.
Well, you can go ahead and do what you're doing.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll do spot of commercials here, and then we'll proceed from there.
Okay.
We can see if that's our... Well, DeHire won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile in 133-3, defeating Eclipse Award winner Midnight Luke. His buyer for the Cigar Mile was 114. That's a figure betted only by a horse of the year, Curlin, among all 3-year-olds that year. He also won the historic Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont, getting a mile in 134-1, a 110 buyer. Covered his first 6 furlongs of the Jerome in 108-1. DeHare won a top allowance race at Saratoga over 9 furlongs by an eye-popping 13 3/4 lengths for 107 buyer after he broke his maiden at Belmont by over 3 lengths. Small wonder that veteran turf rider Steve Haskin described DeHare as freaky fast. DeHare is one of 10 Grade 1 winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup winner to sire 4 Breeders' Cup winners, and he's out-of-the-stakes winner Irish Cherry. Damn, also the Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar, a full sister to DeHare. Now, Irish Cherry sold for $2,700,000, Sponge Sugar for $4,500,000. First foals by DeHare race this year. He stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. We'll say a little bit about my good friend Jim Fitzgerald. Over at Knott Griffin Farm or Harper's Island, he's got 2 farms, you know. Jim came over here from Ireland with next to nothing, and he's been very, very successful in the horse business. He's Also a master hounds, incidentally, down at Woodford Hounds. He's a native of Ireland, a superior horseman. Been successful in the horse business. He's had worldwide connections in the business. And those two farms down there, if you're looking for a place for boarding or layups or sales prep, second to none. And if you're in the horse business and you're not too happy or you're thinking about getting into the horse business, get in touch with Jim Fitzgerald. And he's somebody that you can trust to do the right thing. And he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. So give Jim a call at Knock Griffin Farm, 987-8032. Or go to the website, knockgriffin.com. Well, Springer Last covered some 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. First foals are now two-year-olds, and they figure to come out running because he had brilliant speed. And remember, he stands at Windstar Farm, home of two of last year's leading freshman sires. Bluegrass Cat, Sharp Humor. Ran a mile in 1:33.2, bested champion sprinter Midnight Elude at 7 furlongs, got the mile in 1:34 and change the day he won the Grade 1 Don, going a mile in 8th, whooped an international field in the Grade 2 Godolphin Mile, and earned over $1,139,000. Now, Springer Last is one of 82 stakes winners by Silver Deputy, and his dam, Badina Farmer, produced three graded stakes winners, two of them Grade 1 stakes winners. In stakes last weekend, Kathman Blue won the Grade 3 Rachel Alexander at the Fairgrounds. Bridgetown won the Turf Dash Stakes at Tampa Bay, won 5 furlongs and 55-1. That was a new course record. Kathman Blue, a daughter of last year's second-ranked freshman sire Bluegrass Cat, is one of the favorites for the upcoming Kentucky Oaks. Bridgetown is by Spitestown, the nation's number one-ranked third-crop sire in 2010. Bluegrass Cat stands for $25,000 due in the foal stands and nurses. Spitestown, $50,000 due in the foal stands and nurses. And there's a 10% discount if you pay those fees by November 1. Springer Last stands for $7,500. Live foal stands and nurses with the same 10% discount available. Now's the time to breed to him before he, like Bluegrass Cat, Spitestown, and other Windstar stands, Distorted Humor and Tis Now, climb the sire list. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Alrighty, well, my interview with Suzanne, I'm going to pronounce your name right. Let me see if I've got it right now. It's Vandersom?
Vandersom.
That's pretty damn close, isn't it?
You got it.
Suzanne is down here from Michigan. She's training horses here. Got over. What barn are you in over there, Suzanne?
Right now I'm in barn 12, but I'm about to move up to the top of the hill.
Oh, you're overflowing? How many you got here?
Oh, I've got 7, but I'm looking for a couple extras.
Oh, okay.
Once I get things settled down.
All righty.
She's moving to the Hamptons.
Moving to the Hamptons?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's the new concrete barns that Claiborne built down there.
Correct.
The new barns.
Yep, the new
barns. Oh, that's pretty neat. Yeah, those are nice barns.
Yeah.
Really nice. And you're an accountant and you got an office over here.
Yep.
At 3380.
Yes, I've been blessed to have an office here.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You're right there. That's, if those don't know who where 3380 Paris Pike is, that is the main office at the Thoroughbred Center here. So, boy, you've got them. You're set up, ready
it's
to
great.
Go, right?
It's great.
Are you in business now?
Yep. I've been in business 33 years, and I figured this was my year to expand out, come down to Lexington, and give my hand at training again and expand my business out.
Are you originally from Michigan?
Yep. I was born and raised there and decided that, you know, Michigan's a little slow now. So
yeah.
I thought, well, here we go.
Did you breed your own up there?
Yeah. I bred everything up there and brought a few down. They're all Michigan breds, but we'll see what they do.
Oh, well, you know, you'd find places to run them around here. But, yeah. You know, there's Springs opens up a bunch of tracks. Mountaineer's opening again. And,
right.
Of course, as always, Keeneland.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
And River Downs. Have you ever been to River Downs?
No, I haven't, but I hope to be there this summer.
I tell you, you'll love it. Yeah. It's a fun track to go to.
Yeah, they say River Downs and even Ellis Park is fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're nice tracks, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No related to me. In the wrong. I'm they're the rich Ellis's. So what was your... Are you come from a horse family, or how did you get involved in this?
Actually, no. I came from a family of florists. We have the oldest florist business in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The Vandersums Flower Shop is over 100 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I grew up on a lake and taking private tennis lessons and playing golf. And much to my mother's dismay, I kind of disappeared to the horse barns.
Oh. It was, how'd you get interested in them? And if you didn't sound like there was much exposure there.
Well, my grandfather used to ride for a stable called, it was Peter the Great up at Western Michigan. That's now Western Michigan University. Mm-hmm. And they actually had an old trotting horse, Peter the Great. And he's buried in Indiana now. But it was quite a stable.
Okay, and, he was pretty, you know, that's how you got introduced. Did you go to the trots to sit watching?
No, never went to the trots. He actually snuck me into the Battle Creek Hunt Club when Max Bonham was there. And I started riding there. And then from there, I went to Ludon's.
Well, what were you riding?
Hunter's Jumpers.
Hunter Jumpers.
Yeah.
Well, how in the world did you get over to Thoroughbreds?
Well,
some of those Hunter Jumpers were Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, and I was blessed that they were the old fashioned, the really good bloodlines. You know what you see out in the hunt field,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of got a taste for that. And then I kind of started watching the racehorses, and I showed quite a bit. I showed against people in Chicago and Detroit, and I thought, you know, there's got to be more to this. You know, the showing and the stress. And I thought, let's try our hand at racing. So I bred a really nice mare. And I was fortunate that she ended up to be a state filly, Tank Girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of my good start.
Yeah.
And I kind of got hooked after that. Started galloping a little bit and thought, I kind of like this.
You get on your own horses?
At home I do. Here I'm a little bit more cautious. There's a lot going on. And I kind of have this theory that if I'm going to train, you know, I can get on and I can feel the horse, but a lot of times, you know, there's people that are riders that are much more qualified than I am, and maybe my eye watching them is where I need to be.
Well, what's going to happen with racing up there, do you know?
Right now, I think racing in Michigan is very, very tentative. I think they had a meeting maybe yesterday. But last I heard is I think they're going to lose the thoroughbred racing up there.
Oh, my goodness. It used to be great racing back in the 30s and 40s, 40s especially.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Detroit was a lot of fun, and when that left, they moved.
The old MRA.
And they moved to Great Lakes Downs, and it was a fun little track. It really was. I called it summer camp, but the horsemen liked it, and they had a good time.
Trying to think of the name of that the jockey that rode up there in Michigan. I met her around here. She used to ride around here some, and she was one of the leading riders up there, female jockey, and I can't remember her name now. Saved my life. I even rode her. She rode for me down at Turfway a couple of times.
Yeah.
Can you remember some of
those
jockeys up there?
Yeah, there weren't very many female jockeys left up there when I was there.
Well, how long did you train up there?
I trained for about 4 years.
Did you?
Yes, and then I kind of took a little break to reorganize and focus more on my accounting and save up some money so I could expand and come out this way.
Yeah. Gee. Did you have mares, too?
Yeah. Yep,
did
I have
you bring
mares.
Them down?
I did not. Again, I thought maybe I'd take a look around, and, you know, honestly, you can't beat some of these good Kentucky breds.
Well,
no.
Well, you're going to have to join them. That's what they're.
I know. I know.
Yeah. So, how many mares do you have up there?
I have four up there.
Yeah, well, they're like guinea pigs with four.
I know.
I mean, I bet you've got about 16 heads standing around now.
Actually, no. I was pretty lucky to call out the herd a little bit, and I've got a couple I'm thinking about rebreeding. But when I get the racing string going, and I'm kind of moving along in the path I'd like to see, I'll go ahead and breed again.
Well, that's a pretty big move coming down here. You know, you're taking a...
It is. It is. But as an accountant, I have to kind of take my own advice, and I have a lot of horsemen for clients and a lot of different variety of businesses.
Yeah. Could you bring some of your accounting business down here with you?
I brought it all.
Oh, did you?
I brought it all. I work until maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock at night after I do up horses, and then I get up early and start working on them in my hotel room and come out here and train.
Oh, my goodness. That makes a long day out of it.
It does, but it's very worthwhile. You know, I get to do what I want. And I can't say there are many people, especially with today's economic times, that can do what they want. And I'm lucky I have a very loyal following. I've got clients I've had.
Well, you must be good.
I'd like to think so.
Well, you know? When you've got a loyal following, it goes without saying. You know, that's so you guys out there, especially if you're in the horse business, and I guess you're used to handling a lot of horse accounts.
Yep. So, well, I'm good at doing back taxes and helping people out and getting them current. I know it's hard when people get behind or they have records that are not in order. They get kind of scared of how much it's going to cost or whatever. And I try to help them out to take the sting away. You know, I just try to talk to them like one-on-one, and you get my services. I don't pass anybody off to staff because I do it.
Yeah, do it all yourself. That's great. Well, I know you were looking for a place to stay, and you told me you found a place.
I think I did. I've actually got two places, but I'm still kind of tentative. I'd like to stay maybe a little bit closer to the track because I do have so much to do with my own horses and the hands-on and the accounting. So you never know. Maybe something else will pop up as well.
Uh-huh. But where are your horses? Well, of course, you just got your horses in training here now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you really haven't found a place to stay yet. So.
Yeah. You know.
What are you looking for?
Oh, you know, just maybe kind of a guest house, something that's not too far away.
It doesn't have to be.
Nothing fancy.
I mean, it doesn't have to be acreage for horses or anything.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, that shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, no, nothing fancy, just kind of quiet. I probably won't be there a whole lot.
Hell, sleep in the office over there, will you?
I was thinking about it.
Jim would go for that, you know?
I'm not so sure he'd take you kindly. But he's been great so far.
Oh, there's a nice Jim Pendergrass we're talking about, who's the general manager here. He's a great guy. Well, what do you think of the training center here?
I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you give an accountant a lot of changes, it can be a little stressful at times. But again, everybody's been real nice. I'm getting used to it. I like the track. The facility's good. And I did a lot of research for the last couple of years. I researched, you know, where I may want to go, what was best for the horses. And I think all around, there's a lot of versatility here for every type of horse.
Yeah.
You know, there's the round pen, there's the back fields, you know, there's paddocks to turn out. You've got the big track, the small track. And it just seems like it's a real good environment for the horses.
Is that my phone? Now, who the hell would be calling me while... Obviously not a listener. Well, what barn are you in over there now?
I'm in barn 12 right now.
Barn 12 up on the hill up there.
Yeah. And then I'll be moving up to, I believe it's barn H.
Yeah. Well, those are nice barns. Of course, barn 12 is a good barn as far as that goes.
Yep.
Who's in there with you?
Klebs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene and Jake.
Yep.
Yeah. They've got a farm down in Centerville. You don't know where that is.
Yeah, I do. Actually, Tammy and Mark Johnson are in the barn as well, and I think they're all out in that area in Centerville.
Yeah. A whole lot of Bourbon County people here.
Oh, yeah.
Including me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a fun place. I mean, I've been out here for I don't know how long now. And first I used to train and so forth, and then I retired and they got me the clock. I can't believe they pay me to look at horses. I probably would have done it for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, getting anything close to run or?
Well, I'm working on one right now. As you probably clocked last week, I think it was Tank's little brother.
Yeah.
And
what's he by the way?
He is a Matchlight out of Michigan.
Okay.
Out of my good mare. It's a rare brick mare. Pick a Brick is her name.
Okay.
And he's a half brother to Tank Girl, my good mare. He's just he's just a good old horse. You know, he likes what he's doing, and if he decides he doesn't like it, you know, that'll be it. But I've tried him in some other things, and he's happy on this track.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's a good track.
Yeah.
They do a good job with.
Yes,
and of course, the weather. Of course, we kind of had a rough winter for here, but you coming from Michigan, it didn't seem rough to you.
No, it didn't seem rough to me at all. It felt like a blessing. I think they're still having snow and ice mix up there.
Oh, Lord, yeah. It's been really rough up there this year. Yeah.
It's been very rough. One minute it'll ice, and the next minute they've got snow, and I don't think they've had much sunshine, so my help up there is kind of grumbling. But
did you bring some help down with you?
You know, no. I've been lucky. I have a couple of gals working in the barn for me, and very good, very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to leave my gals at home to work. So, so far,
who's
so
getting
good
on your horses down here?
Bonnie Castellano.
Oh, Bonnie Castaneda.
Yeah, Castaneda.
Yeah, I was fussing at Bonnie this morning. She used to wear that pink helmet cover. She got on a different color this morning. I said, gee, I won't be able to find you anymore.
I know. She had a burgundy one on. I said, you know, I couldn't find you today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She rides races occasionally, too, you know.
Yeah.
She rides a lot for her husband, Marco.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, and he's done fairly well here, too, you know, winning some races. I keep track of all you guys and what you're doing, so as soon as you win one, we'll plug you.
Yeah. Well, she's doing a great job. I've got a couple of tough ones in there that needed some patience.
Uh-huh.
She's very patient, doesn't seem to get...
Most of them young horses, or...
I have 2 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
One's a little bit of a temperamental thing, but... And then I have a couple of 2-year-olds, and she's been great with them.
Yeah.
She really has.
Okay. Well, I've been talking to Susan Vandersom. I wish we could talk longer, but you were a little late getting here. Is your horse okay?
Yep, they're all doing good.
Those things happen, you know.
You know, they do. They get a little excited. They tie up a little bit, you know. Things happen. You just got to kind of go with it.
Yeah, I had an old horse that did that. Used to tie up like that, and he finally got out of it, you know, but... those things happen.
Yep. Just help them through it.
All right.
Head for another day.
Oh, well, now listen, if you need a good accountant, just go see Suzanne Vandersom over here at the Thoroughbred Center, 3380 Paris Pike, and she can take care of you. Just go in the front door and turn right.
Can't miss you.
All right, Suzanne. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Okay, I've got one more commercial, and then we'll try to wrap her up. According to stats published by the Blood Horse, Dinah Farmer was the leading sire of graded stakes winners in 2010 with 12. The Blood Horse also shows Malibu Moon as having sired the winners of $8,558,872 last year, and he ranked third on the North American sire list. Graded stakes winner Temple City is the son of leading sire Dinah Farmer, out of a half-sister to Dancing, by Danzig, to leading sire Malibu Moon. Now, boy, that's a sire pedigree. Temple City was a runner, won his first start, going 6.5 furlongs and won 15-1. Won a pair of mile allowance races at Santa Anita and at Hollywood Park, going 134 flat in the Hollywood Park race. Then he moved to Del Mar and finished second in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, beating less than a length. And in subsequent stakes, he was second by head in the Grade 2 American Handicap, ran in record time to win the Grade 3 Cougar the Second Handicap at Del Mar. And in the final start of his career, he dropped a head-bobbing decision in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Temple City is standing his first season at stud for $5,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Feld, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. You know what I tried to do? I've got a minute and I'm going to do this. I talked about, you don't have any other announcements you want to do, do you? Because can I say something about Nergal?
Sure.
Well, she got a mouthful of, what are you eating?
Pringles.
Pringles, okay. That's good for you. We talked about a little fella last week who was the fourth highweight on experimental handicap, probably should have been ranked a little bit higher, maybe. He beat all the three that were ranked above him. In fact, he beat one of them, three out of the top-rated horse, Jules Reward, and beat him three out of the four times they met. But he never won beyond 7 furlongs, or never went around 2 turns because he was pointing for the champagne, but then he came up bad and they had to stop on him. So because it was the experimentalist for a mile and a 16th, they didn't rate him that high. But anyway, it was a nice horse. But we talked about him, was it last week or week before last? But what the hell, we talked about him. And I wanted to say something at the time about Nergal Now, it should have had Henry White on to do that, because Henry knows him better than anybody, because he stood him. He was a foal in 1943. He was a champion two-year-old of his year over in France. He won 10 stakes in France and England, and he ran second in the Arc de Triomphe. Got beat by Magoli, as a matter of fact, who I think Magoli was a sire gallant man. Am I right about that? Anyway, in this country, he was the leading sire two-year-olds in 1955. He sired 16 stakes winners, including Nail, who was a two-year-old, incidentally, in 1955. That's the one who put his daddy up on the sire list. And Nail was a champion two-year-old of his year also. He won three of the best stakes. He won the Futurity in New York. He won the Remsen in New York. And he won the Pimlico Futurity. Of course, that's in Maryland. Nergal was also the sire of Natego, good stakes winner up Chicago. North-South Gal, as I recall, won the Delaware Oaks. Had a real tough old horse that won a bunch of races, won the Dixie Handicap. His name was Popcorn. He was a good one. And he sired some stakes winners up in Canada, Nerdar and Compactor, won stakes up in Canada. Nergal, I think he topped the sire list also for the number winners in a single years, at least once. And Henry stood him over at Elmhurst Farm. When Henry was operating Elmhurst, it's right behind the Jot 'em Down store, as a matter of fact, on that corner of Ironworks and the Russell Cave Pipe. Nergal was by Trebillion. No, he wasn't. That was his grandsire. He was by Goya. And Goya was a foal of 34. He was a champion older horse in France. He also won the Jim Crack Stakes in Great Britain as a two-year-old, and he won the same James's Palace Stakes as a three-year-old in England. Ran second in the 2,000 guineas. And he was a very good sire, Goya was. He ranked second on the sire list in France in both 1947 and 1948. And he sired a bunch of nice horses, a French classic winning filly named Cortaire. He sired an English Oaks winner, Azrima. He sired a French Derby winner in Good Luck. Best run over here was Artismo. He won a Hopeful to Sapling and some other stakes. Arrogate, who was a good stakes winner out on the coast. Goyamo won a 1954 Bluegrass Stakes, was by Goya. He also won the Bahama Stakes. Went second in the Florida Derby. And we mentioned Trebillion as being the sire of Goya. He was a champion three-year-old colt in France in 1931. And he was so good. He was such a success over there. He was instrumental in the repealing of the Jersey Act, which was passed in 1913 and was repealed in 1949. That the Jersey Act barred from registration horses which could not trace their pedigrees back flawlessly to the general stud book of the English Jockey Club, and Trebillion's Dam didn't. It didn't meet that criteria. But he was so good and topped the sire list that they had to repeal that. Well, once again, winners out of here since last week. We're about ready to sign off. We've had 9 winners from the Thoroughbred Center since we talked to you last Saturday. Decilio Correjo, Eduardo Caramore, Bobby Prasad had 2, Jimmy Corrigan 2, Tom Bergen, Selmer Olsen, Bobby Sturgeon. And we're going to wrap it up for the show. So we'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.